Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Kathleen O., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Monday, December 23rd, 2019, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 77, the second paragraph, which begins with "Under no condition." We'll be reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. Today's readers are Shelley E. for the 12 Steps, Jean J. will be reading the 12 Traditions, and the readers of our text are Marcella M., Kathy Jo P., and Dawn B. The share ID for Sunday, December 22nd, the special edition, is 13,861. That's 13861. And for this morning's December 23rd, 7 a.m. Eastern Time, is 13,862. That's 13862. Our newcomer greeter for today is Mo H., and Reggie O. will be making the announcements. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I'll now ask Shelley E. to read the 12 steps, please.
Good morning, Kathleen. Thank you for your service. Good morning, friends. I'm Shelley E., a gratefully recovered compulsive overeater in Texas. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrong. 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive eaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for allowing me to do service, and I pass.
Thank you, Shelley E. Jean J., would you read the 12 traditions, please?
Certainly will. Jean J., recovered in Portland, Oregon. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there's but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop drinking or eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive eater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever nonprofessional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And I'll pass.
Thank you, Jean J. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book. We're on page 77, the second paragraph, which begins with under no condition. And we'll be reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. So good morning, Marcella M. If you could get us started, please.
Thank you so much. Under no condition do we criticize such a person or argue. Simply, we tell him that we will never get over drinking until we have done our utmost to straighten out the past. We are there to sweep off our side of the street, realizing that nothing worthwhile can be accomplished until we do so, never trying to tell him what he should do. His faults are not discussed. We stick to our own. If our manner is calm, frank, and open, we will be gratified with the result. My name is Marcella. I'm a compulsive overeater recovered. I live in Boston. I was born in Mexico. And I'm kind of the kind of addict that I'm not very good at getting resentments at individuals, but I'm excellent at getting resentments against institutions or groups of people. As we were listening, you know, a little before the meeting, you know, that difficulty that some people are having dialing in, I'm in primo. Who is that institution so that I can be resentful against that institution that is making difficult for us to dial in a vision for you? I'm just quick. I jump against institutions. So when I was doing my step work, my amends, you know, Citizens Bank was there, you know, like certain religious organisms, that kind of thing, right? When I did my step work in a vision for you, I got here with recovery in AA, so there was very little in my inventory, and my then sponsor said, just everything that has to do with food. My biggest resentment was against OA as a whole, because OA as a whole had failed me. Just imagine my level of arrogance and moral blindness, right? And once we get to 8 or 10, I didn't discuss the faults of OA as a whole. I stick to my own. And my manner was not very calm, frank, and open. It was clumsy in broken English, but it still worked. I'm delighted with the results. Delighted. Now that I'm very excited, you know, that all of us or many of us are going to see each other in LA. I never in my wildest dreams imagined that I was going to be excited about going to an OA, you know, event. I'm excited because a vision for you is inserted in OA. It is not up to me to fix OA. I'm just doing what I need to do in a vision for you in English and Spanish, and that's it. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Marcella M. Okay, who else would like to share on this paragraph? We're on page 77, the second paragraph, under no condition.
Melanie C.
This is Charles H.
Melanie C. Charles A.
Julie E.B.
Julie E.B.
Deborah G.
Deborah G.
Reggie O.
Reggie O.
Kathy D.
And Kathy D. Okay. Thank you. That was easy. Okay, I have Melanie C., Charles H., Julie E. B., Deborah G., Reggie O., and Kathy D. So go ahead, Melanie C., please.
Hi, thanks, everyone. My name is Melanie C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater calling in from Oregon. And this is talking about how I approach somebody and how they might react, and at least in my mind, as I read it and study about it. And so then what am I supposed to do in my response to that sort of thing? And it's reminding me what it is I'm there to do. And I think that's the piece that I want to share about today, which helped me to keep myself disconnected from whatever their process is that they're going to be experiencing as a result of hearing something, certainly from me. And if it's an apology, which I rarely made, certainly from me, you know, and it could emote all kinds of things. The recovery process here has taught me to they're using the idea about staying on my side of the street, and I interpret that as I am there. I am there to get right with God, to clean up the wreckage of the harm of the fallout of my instincts gone astray, gone awry, that has harmed and hurt other people. And with that in mind, there's a level of humility there that works beautifully in order to make sure. But I might be caught off guard. I might be activated by something that they say if it happens to be something that hits that part for me. And then I get to continually look at that, why am I here? And it's kind of a mantra that I put in my head. I'm here to get right with God. I have no hope unless I'm right with God. That is the treatment for this disease that I happen to have. And if I want to come along in my spiritual process, if I want to mature, if I want to not be, defiant and immature and childish and things like that I was all of my life long, this is what's going to be necessary. And that I have a starting out place to kind of wipe the slate clean, so to say, to be able to treat people differently, to develop that friendship ideal, that relationship ideal that I would be having with all kinds of people. Even if that person did me more harm than I did them, I'll be able to rightly work myself through that sort of thing, through the development of maturing process in the spiritual journey. That is what I'm here for. I'm here to simply get right with God, to clear that up. I'm not there to receive an acceptance of my amends, a forgiveness of my amends, or to be activated by their response. All of these pieces are opportunities to grow an understanding and enlarge my conscious contact with God. Those things in my mind has helped everything else. Their response to me, my response to them. And I'm grateful for it. It's been very, 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 very helpful. And when that process has been done, because I'm always activated by something if I'm offended, that process, not doing that, being able to bite my tongue until it bled, the empowerment of that, the connection with God was so magnificent, it continued to spur me on to continue that process of thinking in those terms all the way through. It's fantastic. Thanks. I'll pass.
Perfect timing. Thank you, Melanie C. Okay, Charles H., you're up next, followed by Julie E.B.
Thank you, moderator. So what's coming to me here is trust God, clean house, and help others. So if I trust God, I'm a clean house. I could trust God and still own clean house. You know, a member just called me with a 10th step, and I was like, oh, that's great, because I don't like calling people. The phone is like 1,000 pounds. I'll call and text, go on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all that, but I won't call for a 10 step, right? Before I drill down, I want to go back to this, the paragraph prior to where it says, we go to him in a helpful and forgiving spirit, confessing our former ill feeling, expressing our regret. Many times I get phone calls from people, oh, I didn't say nothing to them, but I thought of it. I had ill feelings towards that person. So if I didn't have good feelings toward that person, I could have treated them better. That helped me so much. A transgression is a wicked, evil, corroding inside sin that, you know, it's hidden from the world, but it's how I feel about you. And I could tell you, I feel some type of way about people every single day, and God's working on me on that. And it's just cleaning house. No more sweeping under the carpet. no, I need to sweep that thing up and clean house and help. Because if my house dirty, I can't help you. I can't serve you. How am I going to serve you? My kitchen dirty? You ain't going to eat from my kitchen. So, you know, Dr. Bob came up with this prescription. And even though if you read his story, his nightmare, yeah, he struggled with mental obsession. He never picked it up, though. It says he struggled 2.5 years. See, we read the text and use it to our convenience, right? The man never picked up a drink. He struggled with it, but he helped 5,000 people before he passed away. God bless him. So I will continue to trust God, help, you know, clean house and help others, because that really helps me by doing that. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Charles H. Julie E.B., you're up next, followed by Deborah G.
Hi, this is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered in Colorado today. Wow, this is a whole other way of life I'm embarking on. And for me, it's one thing to put this into my amends, but the only way I'm going to be able to live this is with that deep, effective spiritual experience. And for me, that's having a God who's gracious and merciful and slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love towards me. And when I have that kind of love towards me, a God who gives me the benefit of the doubt, a higher power who loves me, instead of that lower power inner voice saying you're never good enough, arguing about everything, and always trying to demand that I do more, be better. And so look at this text. I mean, this has been a work that I'm in as a living amends every day, not to mention the day I gave my amends, the two-week period that I gave away, you know, many, many, many amends. So here we go. I got the kids home from school, the families gathered, and I am not to criticize or argue. If you knew how foreign that is for me, whether it's out loud or the brainstorm in my head, this is a gift of my higher power. This is God doing for me what I can't do for myself. Instead of criticizing, I pray that God help me appreciate. Instead of arguing, I ask God to show me areas of agreement, which takes that humility that God is teaching me. And never tell someone what to do. Oh my gosh, just last night, I had this great idea that one of my kids should be hanging out with the other kid instead of playing video games. I mean, this is real life, because when I'm telling them what to do, I am being God. And as I learned in another 12-step program, I am not God. I do not know what's best for other people. Most of the time, I don't know what's best for myself. And when I remember this, my life goes smoother. So today, my higher power is in charge, which means I don't have the right to criticize or argue. People in my life are there to appreciate, as long as I don't need them, as long as I don't need them to meet my needs, because my higher power meets my needs. My higher power tells me I'm okay. My higher power shows me the corrective measures I need to take. Thanks for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Julie E.B. Deborah G., you're up next, followed by Reggie O.
Hi, everyone. I'm Deborah, recovered compulsive overeater. And thank you, Kathleen, and everyone that has made this meeting possible, all the shares, all the people that put it together. You know, my experience has been with this is that leveling of my pride, the pride that I had before doing this work, the pride that got me into looking at the other person and doing all, making all, everything about the other person and not looking at myself. And this is the leveling of that pride. And getting to a place, you know, I find when I do that work of compassion with an open heart and also identifying with that person, you know, we're not one up, one down, we're equal. And so I don't have to criticize them or do whatever. And going to them and asking them, you know, asking permission if I can make an amends. You know, they may not want to hear my amends because of something I've done. And then going and saying, you know, I was wrong. There's that humility. I was wrong, you know, for whatever I did. And what can I do to make that right? You know, and I like what it said there, doing it in a calm, frank, and open manner. You know, coming from my heart. You know, when I'm in that place of not hardness, I am not calm. I am not frank, and I'm not open. But because of doing that work, going to that. And you know, many of the times, I feel closer to that person after doing that. That's what I like, and freer. When I get closer to that person and free, the freedom, freer, freer, and freer, I get closer to God because God is in that person. God is everywhere. God is in that person, and I can connect to that person, and that God in them connects with that light of that God in me. It's just a beautiful experience when I can level that pride. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Deborah G. Okay, Reggio, it's your turn, followed by Abby B.
Thanks, Kathleen. Good morning, and thank you for your service, and good morning, everybody. It's so great to be listening and reading and doing this study. Yeah, I love that, you know, that last sentence in the prior paragraph, too. Also, we go, this is how we go to this person, you know, we go to him or her in a helpful and forgiving spirit. This is... And, you know, this started a long time ago, but, you know, back for me and when I'm making my list and then there's the sick person, you know, the sick man's prayer after every bit of this that is a break. It's a departure. I name who I'm resentful against, all the reasons I'm resentful against them. I get it out, but I do it in a very clear, concise, not storytelling manner. And then I ask, you know, part of the sick man's prayer is, how can I be helpful to this person? Save me from being angry. How can I be helpful for this person? And at that point, I cross a bridge where it's no longer about the other person, that it's all about me. And that's where my freedom lies. That's where my freedom lies. That's where my power lies. And that's also, I'm sharing this with another human being, my part. So the humility is getting started there. I'm getting, bringing things into the light. You know, I'm letting these secrets of my old behaviors out, which I have had shame about, certainly some and plenty of them. And now it's time to do the repair. It's do the repair. I've done the work on me. So, you know, in some respects, there's no reason, unless I get afraid and character defects pop up, that I would even consider criticizing such a person and arguing, because that's not going to help me. I love the metaphor of sweeping off my side of the street, you know, because I've been a great street sweeper on other people's side of the street, you know, in my life, and the controlling that, you know, has come with my disease. And you know what happens when I cross the road to sweep? First of all, they might not like the way I sweep, and probably don't. They didn't ask me to begin with. But my side of the street keeps getting deeper and more cluttered, you know, and dirtier. So it's like it's not really helping anyone. But when I go and I go in this helpful, loving manner, I go with God. I go with, you know, the humility of having told someone else and knowing that I'm loved for all of these things. And now I get to really clear it up and clean it up. And as I have thought for most of my life, so that when I, or most of my time in program, so that I can look across the street or turn around any corner and look whomever I meet in the eye with humility one-on-one. And not only that, I have a heck of a lot more energy when I'm not using it all up trying to do something that I've not been invited to do, but really keep clean and clear so I can continue to do what I've learned is my purpose, greater service to God and to my other human beings. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Reggio. Okay, before we take Abby B., just a reminder, we're on page 77, the second paragraph that begins with "under no condition." And I'll be taking some more names after Abby goes. So go ahead, Abby B., please. Was it Abby B. or was it a Kathy?
I think you mean Kathy D., maybe?
Okay. I thought you were Kathy D., but then I got a little note that maybe it was Abby B., so go ahead, Kathy. D. I'm glad my ears are working.
Okay, no worries. No worries at
Thank
all.
Thank you, Kathy. Go ahead. Thanks.
No problem. It's Kathy D. here in Colorado Springs, compulsive overeater recovered today. I'm so thankful to be able to say those words because, my goodness, I struggled for a very, very long time in a 15-year relapse. And anyhow, so my favorite thing in the world was to play God. It was really the only mode of survival I had ever known. And my motives were, of course, always good. And I thought I was always being gracious. So when I went through this set of steps this time, it was very, very different from anything I had done, even in my earlier years when I had 10 years of abstinence. What does it mean to clean house? My sponsor guided me and said, we are to be hard on ourselves. We are to smash self-will. That's a very powerful word, smash. Not we are to be gentle on ourselves and gentle on others. No, I was supposed to smash self-will. So she even said that when I did my fourth step, I was almost to feel like I had my tail between my legs because this is serious. You know, the harms that I've caused others, it's serious. It's not to be taken lightly. So I worked on it. And one thing that helped me too was that I was to go from passive voice to active voice. I'm just going to give an example. My part, for example, was not that I don't accept so-and-so's flaws or my children's flaws. No, but the active voice is, I need my children to behave in a certain way for me to be happy. That's the active voice. Sometimes when I was working on an amends, I needed to write a clear and concise letter so that I wouldn't be tempted during the amends making process to kind of go off grid and, you know, get into areas that really didn't need to be discussed. I need to pray until I'm ready. What am I really there for? I want to be at peace with myself and God. I will say I've had the unexpected happen in almost all cases. And what's really cute is that my husband is now making amends to me in that language, which I absolutely love. So, yeah, this is Christmas week. I have a lot of family coming in. I'm going to be fervently practicing program. How can I be helpful and forgiving? I know that I'm an overly sensitive person, and without doing these daily 10 steps that I now do, that are only possible from a thorough 9th step that followed a thorough set of steps of 1 through 8, that I would really be lost. So I'm very thankful this morning. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Kathy D. Okay, who else would like to share on page 77, the second paragraph, under no conditions?
Sherry
W. R. Roz
G. Sherry K. R. Roz G. Sherry K. B.
Mo H. Darian K.
Did you get Lisa G?
Okay. I didn't get Lisa G. And who came in very last after Mo H?
Darian K. Maybe.
Was it Carrion K?
Darian.
Darian K. And who said? Who said maybe?
I did. Darian K.
Who was that? Oh, that. Oh,
Darian.
Okay, and it's Darian K. Yeah. Okay. So let
did
me
you
stop
get
there.
R?
I did get Deborah R. I have you first, Deborah R. Okay.
Oh,
I'm so excited. Everybody wants to share on this. Okay. So I have Deborah R., Roz G., Sherry K. B., Mo H., Lisa G., and Darian K. And I hope I didn't miss anyone. So let's go with you, Deborah R.
Thank you very much. Welcome, everybody, and newcomers and fellow travelers. Thank you, leader and admins and recorders. And I'm just real grateful. And this touches home. One of the other shares touched on how she was, I could identify when she said she was mad at OA, resentful that they hadn't really done their job and got me abstinent. And I had to get over myself and realize that, you know, only I am responsible for my abstinence, nobody else. The steps are all laid out in the big book. And, you know, even if I never met OA, I could read that book, and as long as I, you know, understood there were promises, there was work to do, and then I would get those promises. But in my small microcosm, as I've learned to tell my story, and the story changed, at first I was angry. I came into OA in 82, and I saw what I wanted, and I was willing to do what I was asked to do. And I had 6 decent years, but yet not enough to keep me from the throes of this disease. And I went back out and gained my weight and more. And when I came back to OA, I was amazed. I was not amazed, but just disheartened because they were all happy with their fat serenity. And they didn't have to be food abstinent. They just had to be spiritually abstinent. And that didn't make sense to me. It's a spiritual solution. So anyway, getting to my fourth step, I realized that. And what I was led to do is I couldn't get to everybody in OA. So at a retreat in the local area, in the Detroit area, I went, and when it came time to do step 9 at the retreat, I apologized to everybody in that room that I had judged and criticized and, you know, had my nose up in the air about your program versus my program and what you did or didn't contribute to my unhealthy choices. And I have been free of judgment ever since. Not that I don't get into that, but I used to criticize myself terribly. And if you're anything like me, you probably know what I'm talking about. Not that I can't, you know, be down on myself now and then, but the freedom I've had since releasing that has been phenomenal. And I'm just grateful for A Vision for You, the Big Book, the 12 and 12, the fellowship, and all those that are willing to travel this road. It's certainly simple. It's not easy. And yes, I have to get the broom out and keep my side of the street clean. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Deborah R. Okay, Roz G., you're up next, followed by Sherry KB.
Good morning. This is Roz G. I'm out taking a walk in the rain with my umbrella. So I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Palmdale, California. And I want to share about being a critical person. I grew up around the TV with my grandmother and my mother criticizing everybody on the TV, making fun of how they looked, all of their physical characteristics, and laughing. And you know, I kind of kept that characteristic about myself, and think that it's really awful, because in a recent four-step inventory, looking at myself and who I am, you know, I don't like it when I get on the social media and somebody's criticizing something I believe in, because guess what I do? I do the same thing. I'm just as guilty as they are. And so I'm asking God this year, I have two words that I want to spend in meditation on. They are meekness and humility. And a person who is meek has the opportunity to point out somebody's defects of character, but does not do it. Someone who is humble, this isn't for me. And someone who is humble is a part of the human race. And just like everybody else, and like Harlan says, just another bozo on the bus. Because I've made plenty of apologies over the years, as I've shared before. Have I acted them out? Have I made them real in my daily active life? Sometimes. But now, no, I don't get to criticize on social media. I don't get to point out people's flaws. I get to look for the good, or I get to keep my mouth shut. And I get to ask God to help me to be a part of the human race every single day, no longer up on the stage playing the role, but being a part of the audience and just being there, a part of. And if God does want me to do something special, he'll tell me, he'll show me, it'll come. But it won't be me as a result of me forcing my way through and living out my amends. And not, yeah, it's not criticizing, just living it out. And yes, sure, some people may have done something wrong to me, but God will take care of that. I've seen it over the years. I don't have to take revenge on anybody. Vengeance is mine. Thank you. And with I, not vengeance is mine, but you know what I'm saying. I pass. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Roz G. Okay. Hey, Sherry KB, you're up next, followed by Mo H.
Good morning, Kathleen O. Good morning, everybody. It's Sherry KB in Northern California. Very grateful, recovered compulsive overeater. Thanks so much for your service, Kathleen, and everybody on the line. And welcome, newcomers. I'm just going to dive right in here. You know, we're coming up on the second warning. You know, simply we tell them that we will never get over compulsive overeating until we have done our utmost to straighten out our past, the past. And these are specific directions. I love into action. I love step nine because it's giving me specific directions on how I need to be when I go make my amends. You know, first we heard about being, you know, going with a helpful, forgiving spirit. Now they're talking about that we go in a calm manner, that if our manner is calm, frank, and open, you know, we will get good results. That I'm there to clean up my side of the street. And, you know, frankly, what I want to say is when I've gone to make amends, I don't go in saying I'm here to clean off my side of the street, because to me that sounds very condescending. I mean, I know I'm there to clean off my side of the street, but I don't tell you I'm here to clean off my side of the street because it insinuates they have a side. And for me, I'm going there just to clean up my side, not talk about their side, not criticize one bit, nothing. It's all on me with my higher power's help, and I really believe in that because I used to say that a long time ago. I'm here to clean up my side of the street. And when I think about how I used to be, you know, it's really about me going in honestly a calm, frank, open, heart-minded manner, not telling them what they should do, not discussing their faults, you know, and it is gratifying. I've noticed that, you know, going in, because I've been in situations where, you know, other people have done me more harm than I did them. But the truth is that if I really want to be free, I have to let that go. And I can only do that with my higher power's help. And, you know, when I made an amends to my husband, you could have seen his mouth drop, because I think he was waiting for me to say, but you did this and this and this and this and that. And I didn't do that. You know, I just told him I was really sorry. And he did bring up something that I had been judging him when I told him I hadn't. And I said, you're absolutely right. I was judging you, and I'm really sorry for that. And, I mean, you could have heard a pin drop in my house, because it was true. It was true. And I just, you know, I it felt really good. I felt so freed up. And I know only with God's help can I do this. And with that, I pass. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Sherry KB. Okay, Mo H., it is your turn, followed by Lisa G.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Kathleen O., for your service and all those giving service on the line. Welcome to newcomers and those returning. This is a great time of year to start working this program. Okay, so here we are at step eight, and Bill, as I heard Sherry saying, is giving specific directions here. He's telling us exactly how to do it. We don't have to make it very complicated or very long or anything. As my sponsor said, just keep it simple. You know, I owe you an amends for. Just simple, you know, being manipulative or being inconsiderate or, you know, whatever it is, stealing money. And I was wrong and I'm sorry. In the future, it is my intention to handle these types of situations. How am I going to handle these situations in the future? That is the positive part of step nine, is how am I going to deal with you let's say, with my husband who I live with, and making amends, and how am I going to do it differently the next time? And then, you know, is there anything else I can do? I ask the person that. And sometimes they have told me, and sometimes, you know, not. They say, no. You know, I didn't see that you did anything wrong. And then we pause after we ask them to give them time. So, you know, and as Sherry said, that this is a warning here. We will never get over our compulsive eating until we have done our utmost to straighten out the past. And I have no expectations when I'm doing an amends, none. It is all about me and my side and nothing about you. And I remember my very first amends with my very first sponsor was to my mother. And I wrote, she told me to write it out and read it to her. And I wrote up this long letter telling my mother that when she did this, you know, it hurt me and blah, blah, blah. And my sponsor said, you do not mention your mother in your amends of anything she did wrong. It's just what you did wrong. And when I finally made my amends to a new amends to my mother, she was in a group home. She had dementia. At the very end of the amends, my mother said to me, and I thought my mother wasn't hearing me or wasn't listening or anything, because we had a difficult relationship growing up. She said to me, I liked your words. And that was all I needed to hear. I mean, it was just beautiful. So, yeah, so these are directions on how to do it. And then this last piece of if our manner is calm, frank, and open, we will be gratified with the result. And I want to say that even in dealing with daily things, if my manner is calm and open and frank, and I had to do that yesterday with my husband, and I acted that way, and it went very smoothly. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Mo H. Okay, Lisa G., you're up next, followed by Darian K.
Thanks. This is Lisa G. from Dripping Springs, Texas, and I'm going to go in a little different path with this. When I did my eighth step amends, there were a lot of people on my list that were already deceased, and I wrote them letters and cried a lot, and it was very cleansing. And then I had one amend to make to somebody it was clearly I had hurt them, and it went beautifully and it was wonderful. They forgave me. It was great. It's a member of my family, and it was wonderful. Well, there's one person on my list that I have not made an amend to yet. It was, you know, how you have your check boxes. I can't remember what they say. I'll do this immediately. I'll do this later. I don't know if I'll ever do it. And she was on the, I don't know, because this person scares the shit out of me. You know, in my sick mind, the reason why I had problems with her is because she scared me. She truly scared me, and so I'm afraid to give her an amend. Now, I know that this is in my head, but it brings up a lot of visceral feelings of me wanting to be defensive, and I don't want to go into this being defensive. I want to go into this with a really open heart and not fearing the response, and that's all. It's not like this person was physically attacking me or anything. It was just verbal responses that were that frankly just I don't know how to deal with. I don't know how to deal with them. So I'm scared it's going to happen again if I go in to do it to an amend with her. So if anybody has any feedback on that, feel free to give me a text or a call. But this is still hanging over me, and it's affecting me definitely that I have not done this amend yet. And I would just say it's not healthy for me as an addict to not wipe my slate clean on this person. She's the last person on my list. So anyway, with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Lisa G. Okay, Darian K., go ahead, please.
Hi there. I'm Darian K. from the Berkshires of Massachusetts. Grateful to be on the line and hear everybody. Just so good to remember what I need to do. So I was just going to be funny for a minute and say, no, don't you know that I have a bestseller book on the shelf that says Darian's Way of Doing Things? You know, it's the script, it's the, you know, the Word of God. And it's because, you know, I'm a big sister, I'm a Jewish mother, I'm a, you know, I don't know. I just feel like there's a lot of reasons why you need to do things my way. And it's just, I crack up inside thinking about that because I don't know why anybody would listen to me with that kind of attitude. And so I so have to back down and look at myself and think about why do I need to be right or why do I need to criticize? And you know what it does? It picks me up. It picks me up. It lifts my self-esteem that, you know, is oftentimes very low, you know, only for me, because of me. And so when I can criticize someone else and look at their flaws, yeah, maybe I have a few less or mine aren't as, you know, brightly colored. And so that's all about self, right? And it seems to always come down to that somehow, some way. Self is always tied up. And fear, right? Fear that I'm not good enough or that people won't like me and blah, blah, blah. And so it's just so good to look at cleaning up my side of the street. And I am the one in this program of recovery, bottom line. I mean, yes, there are some people I relate to that are in a program of recovery, but most are not. And I have to remember that too. Like, I'm the one that's doing the work. I'm the one that's taking this lifetime class, you know, this college course in the 12 steps, you know, that's just never ending. And so I have to be the one to look at my part and then go about it calmly and realistically, and just be the good, authentic human being that God wants me to be, you know, and look for the good in people. Hello. That's what I want them to do for me. I mean, I have such a, they're so contradictory, right? So look at the good in me, but I get to look at the bad in you. Like, that just doesn't make any sense at all when I speak it out loud. So bottom line is this program is just so wonderful. It's just so perfectly laid out for us and for me. And I'm so grateful that I can look at this on a daily basis. And then, you know what? Hang up this phone and go about my day actually doing these things, right? Because we can listen and we can talk, but when we hang up this phone, we go into that real world where there are those people that we are relating to. And, you know, my plan for today is to take this with me. So thank you all for listening, and I pass.
And thank you, Darian Kay. Okay, we're about a minute and a half, so let's go ahead and we'll finish here. We'll have a little more time for newcomers. So I just want to thank everyone for your great shares this morning. Special thanks to Team Monday, Shelly E., Jean J., Marcella M., Kathy Jo P., Don B., Mo H., and Reggie O. And we are now going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. So Kathy Jo P., would you please read A Vision for You?
Good morning, it's Kathy Jo P., a recovered compulsive overeater from Minneapolis, and today I am in Mexico. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.